Well, turn, if you will, to Psalm 124, found on page 656 of your Pew Bible. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be continuing our study of the Psalms of Ascent, these pilgrim psalms. And tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 124. Hear again the word of the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This evening, our message is entitled, The Lord's Doing. If you recall, we began our study of the Psalms of Ascent in Psalm 120, and there we heard from the psalmist of his desire to get to Jerusalem, how he felt the oppression of those around him who made a mockery of the law of God, and his eyes and thoughts were trained upon God's command 3 times a year to go to the temple. And there, in obedience to God, to worship Him. And that, for the psalmist, was a taste of heaven. That he could go and be among God's people and there not hear all of those naysayers around him. And there hear God's word being proclaimed. And there he would be fed and satisfied. And then if you recall in Psalm 121... as he was beginning to go forth, he had to muster the courage to take the first steps because it was a dangerous road that he would be upon. There were any number of robbers that could try to befall him. There were dangers inherent on those stone paths. Even the climate itself was often a factor and a great danger. It was easy to become dehydrated and to suffer greatly on that road. And so we saw him having to be persuaded and be reminded of God's care for all of his people. And that reminder of God's promises allowed him to go on that path. Well, then he arrived in Psalm 122. And we see as he comes into proximity with the city, he gets excited as those who are traveling with him say, let us go up, let us enter into the city. And he comes within those great walls. And the sense of power, stability, the defensive posture of that great city is a comfort to him. And we see him marveling as he comes within the city of Jerusalem. And yet, while he is there in Psalm 123, we see that even there, he has to deal with scorn and mocking. And we spoke last week of how sometimes we find that kind of dissension can arise even within the body. How churches don't always in unity dwell. But our sinfulness sometimes can rob us of that unity for a time. And then we come to Psalm 124. In 124, we see here it begins, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. The psalmist is here reflecting upon all of the difficulties, all of the hardships that he has suffered. And we see here now that he rightly assesses that all of his deliverance has been from the Lord. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when the people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. It is reckoned that when this psalm was written, a psalm of David, that it was shortly after David had engaged with the Philistines. And we find the account of David battling the Philistines in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 to 25. And I'll read those. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore, the name of that place is Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam tree. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself. For then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. Now, this battlefield where David was to face the Philistines was a dry land with wadis, dried up little stream beds and river beds. And it's a place where if rains would come, oftentimes there would be flash floods. And so we see the language that is used here of the danger likened to what would typically happen when a heavy rain would come in that part of the world. And those dry river beds would quickly fill with water and wash away all that was before them. And so we see David uses that language even within this psalm as he reflects upon God's faithfulness to him, God's delivering him from the hands of the Philistines. He uses that language of these flash floods when he says, "Then the flood would have swept us away," in verse 4. "The torrents would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters." We see here that the pilgrim, here in this portion of the word, first, the pilgrim's problems. That there are dangers that surround the psalmist. There are difficulties that will come before the people of God. And yet we see that the psalmist here understands who it is that is his deliverer. You see, in our sinfulness, oftentimes we will instead look at those times where we have escaped difficult things. And too often we want to claim responsibility for ourselves. We want to give ourselves credit. You know, the Lord may have done something toward this, but I'm glad I made this, that, or the other decision. And in this, we see that the pilgrim doesn't attribute any of his deliverance to his own ability. We don't see David here boasting of the strength of his armies, but rather we see that David's first response in the face of those Philistine armies is to cry out to God, to seek the Lord's leading and guidance and permission to know whether the Lord would have him go forward and tackle these armies. David doesn't presume upon the Lord, but he asks the Lord for guidance. He seeks the Lord's will. And the Lord is pleased to give it to him. First, giving him permission to go against the armies of the Philistines and to rout them. And we see there a picture of the supremacy of the God of the Israelites, as when those Philistines were destroyed, what did they leave behind? But they dropped all of their gods, all of their idols, and fled against their enemies, the Israelites. And all of the Israelites were able to pick them up and to carry them away, those idols of the Philistines. And we see again when they come a second time to the Philistines, though David had recently come off of a victory against the Philistines, even this second time he doesn't presume that God would have him go forward. But again, he inquires of the Lord. His first response is to seek out the Lord and to know if he should. And we see that in the second encounter with the Philistines, that God gives them a different means of attack. He says, instead of taking them on head on, go around to their back and take them from behind. And there again, as David acts in obedience, we see that God is pleased to deliver the enemy into his hand. And so we see that Psalm 124 is a psalm where David reflects upon God's deliverance. But this also would have been a psalm that spoke to our Lord Jesus Christ as well, because it was a psalm that spoke of the care and concern and protection that God would give even to his promised one. And we see an amazing picture of the kind of care and concern and deliverance extended by God to Jesus when we look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, hear this portion of God's word. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. Now, war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. We see here a wonderful picture of God's care and protection for our Lord and Savior. We see how our great enemy Satan sought to thwart the effort of God as he sent forth his Son. And yet God's will, God's great plan of salvation could not be and was not thwarted by that enemy of mankind, Satan. But yet there's also an important reminder here for you and I. And that is that in this life we do continue to experience the wrath of that evil one aimed against us, seeking to do harm to those who are in service to Christ. But just as we saw at the outset of this portion of Revelation 12, where God preserved his Son, so we see that God continues to preserve his church, his worshipers, his sons and daughters. And so not only is the pilgrim's life filled with problems, but we're reminded in these passages of the pilgrim's protector. The pilgrim's protector. As these pilgrims would have approached that city of Jerusalem, as they would have reflected upon God's keeping their feet safe upon that path over all of those miles, here we see they would give him thanks for his protection, his care, his bringing them to their appointed end. But he goes on, and he describes here the pilgrim's help. Verses 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Again, the psalmist here is not claiming for himself any responsibility for his deliverance, but rather it is only by God. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. You see, he uses the image of a snare. The snare here that is used for a bird really would typify for you and I what is sin and temptation. And notice here, we don't see that God removes the snare. He doesn't take it away entirely, but here we see that those snares that easily encapsulate God's people, we all continue to struggle in our sin. But our faithful God continues to free us from that sin, releases us from that snare, overcomes those temptations as he is pleased to work within us. And so it isn't our cunning, it isn't our works, but it is another evidence of God's work that he is pleased to break that snare and to free us as those birds who fell prey to the temptation. Again, we mentioned this morning the example of Christian on his way to the celestial city as he got led astray, and oftentimes he would get himself into a quandary. He would find himself entrapped or imprisoned and had to be released. And that is often the case for us, is it not? You find yourself often awakening to the fact that you have strayed down a path you didn't necessarily notice. And you marvel at how sin has become stacked upon sin and is pressing down upon you. And it seems inescapable. Well, here we see that all we do, all that we have to contribute is merely to be crying out to God, asking him to forgive us, asking him to deliver us from these snares of sin. And to diligently be about that work of studying His Word, that we might know His will, that we might walk in a way that would be in agreement with His Word. Do you tend to see yourself as the one responsible for the good that you have? Or do you stop each day and attribute all that you have been lovingly given to the hand of God who has walked beside you, who has provided for you, who has delivered you time and time and time again? Is it your cunning that has secured you from and given you freedom from those snares? Can a single one of us look back to those sins that once were a part of our life and attribute to ourselves in any way a mastery over those sins? We didn't do anything, but the Lord was pleased to work within us. The Lord was pleased to continue His sanctifying work within us, to replace those desires that once yearned after sin, and to replace them with a desire to do the will of God. Do you view God as active, or do you view Him as distant and far off and removed from you? Certainly a number of the founders of this country took that perspective of God, that God merely put everything together, brought it into being, wound it up, and then was just merely standing back and allowing it to run its course. Well, that clearly isn't the God that is put before us this evening in Psalm 124. The God of 124 is active and is absolutely involved in the life of His people. He doesn't merely allow His creation to work itself out. And we need to guard our hearts against that mindset of thinking that our God is far off. Do you seek His face? Is your first response to difficulties that arise, as we said this morning, to seek wisdom from God? To call out like David did for His guidance, to lean upon His Word that He's lovingly entrusted to us to guide your steps? Or is that third, fourth, fifth, tenth on your list of things that you will turn to? Psalm 124 is a wonderful demonstration of the Lord bringing about a right humility in the heart of that man or woman of God who rightly understands each and everything that he or she has received comes by the hand of God. And then is quick to give thanks to God, is quick to sing His praises, is delighted to share with those who are around them, presently walking in darkness, of the hope that God has put within their heart, that they too might come into the glorious light of Christ, that they too might enjoy being delivered from that snare that has captured them, their deliverer being Christ. Well, let's look to God and ask Him to bless us. Dear Heavenly Father, if it had not been You, Lord, we never would have moved to be any closer to You had You not first laid hold of us. For Lord, our heart was in absolute rebellion against You. We were running as far and as fast from You as we possibly could, because Lord, we hated You. We were at war against You. We wanted nothing to do with You until You were pleased to reach out and draw us to Yourself. Lord, if it had not been You, we would have continued in our sin, and we would have rightly endured Your wrath for our sin, for our rebellion against You. for all eternity. But Lord, you were pleased to send your Son, our Savior. And it was your Son who perfectly upheld your law, who was obedient even unto death and death on the cross, who was that righteous, unblemished sacrifice necessary to cleanse us from all of our iniquities, who laid his life down willingly, and who in mastery over death took up his life again, defeating death. And his mastery over death stands to us even today as a powerful witness of the life everlasting that you give to your sons and daughters who trust in Christ. Lord, there will be difficulties in this life. Lord, we may even be coming into a season where men will rise up against your church and against your people. And Lord, when they do, may our first response be to seek your face, to seek wisdom from you, to plead with you, Lord, to guide us and to deliver us, that the enemies of the church would not wash over us like a great flood. But Lord, that you would bring to our mind the promises that you have made, that the foolish attempt of sinful men will never result in the complete extermination of your church. But you are faithful. And as you preserved David and his armies, as you were pleased to preserve Christ when our great enemy sought to thwart your plan of salvation, Lord, we can rest assured you will guard your church. When any one of us would come under trials and difficulties, when any one of us may find ourselves in a season of sin, may we cry out to you. May you hear our cries from the midst of those snares. And may you be pleased to free your people. And may we give you thanks. For Lord, our helper, our help is the name of the Lord. There is nothing greater, no one greater, that we can call upon. And so, Lord, we pray that you would remind your people of this, that we would go forth in these coming days with newfound boldness and courage to speak of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we see those within our families struggling in sin, as we, Lord, see those in our workplaces struggling with sin, Lord, may we be quick to remind them of that one who came and who can destroy that snare and free those captives and take them from a condition of misery and death and sin and bring them into your glorious light where they may be filled with hope and with peace. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.